Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to The Froth. A place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable. A spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Sian Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is... The Froth.
This week's podcast was recorded in our basement in London, and our special guest is Lloyd Langford, who joins us remotely from Australia, and Barry is producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week. Frothy bin, we love you, and frothy hey, frothy bin, loves us too. Ellis James shags a bin.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Please don't say that about my friend.
Ellis James, bin shagger.
He's not, though.
Well, it's coming up in the show. It's coming up in the show and people can judge for themselves whether Ellis James shags a bin.
He really doesn't.
He does. Catch the possessed pigeon. Catch the possessed pigeon. Rod catches a devil-worshipping pigeon with a bin, coincidentally.
Yeah.
Chatty chatty bin bin. Rod chats about his battery operated bin.
Oh my god.
There's a lot of bins this week.
Stay tuned.
Talking of bins, two brown bins sitting on a wall. Two brown bins sitting on a wall. And if one brown bin doesn't turn up, Debbie McGee calls the council. Debbie McGee calls the council when one of her brown garden waste bins doesn't turn up.
You know when I told you that you talking about bins is boring? How come you've taken over this entire episode with bin chat?
Almost the whole show is about bins, it turns out, except this headline. Nutsack, scissor limits. I don't know why I've chosen songs this week.
Yeah, what's with the singing?
Nutsack, scissor limits. Lloyd Langford's mind is blown when Rod accidentally mutilates his scrotum with a scissors. And those were the headlines. Right, before we get Lloyd Langford, our special guest, on. He's joining us remotely from Australia, as you said. But before we get him on, what's happening on the old social media?
Well, you know I put a poll out asking, is Rod talking about our new bin boring?
Right.
39% of people said yes. And the others were just so overcome with boredom, I think they just...
Wait a minute. No. I see what you do on social media sometimes. And I saw you put a poll out and you thought it was hilarious, going, is Rod talking about our new bin?
It was hilarious.
Is Rod talking about our new bin really boring, right? And you put yes, and you didn't give anybody else another option.
Well, there is no other option.
And you expected 100% of people to go, yes, obviously it's really boring, and only 39% did. So 61%... said no, it's not boring at all.
That's
which
not
is
true.
The right answer. It is not our new bin.
There is no alternative to that answer.
And I know, and 61% went for the no alternative.
Listen,
you tried to force them into a yes and they didn't.
At Welsh Nick has said that we can pop round and use his bin. He's got the same bin. He lives
Love
in Bridgend.
He's got the same bin as us.
Same bin, and he says that we're more than welcome to go and have a go if we're ever on the way back to Wales and we just fancy it.
Just for anybody who's just joined this podcast, basically a little
while ago,
I bought a new bin. And it's a battery-operated bin.
And it's so boring.
And you wave your hand above it, and it magically opens, and then shuts, boom, shut, after you walk away. It is brilliant. I love it. And they've got the same bin.
Yeah.
And they said we can go down and
use
it.
The one that you put batteries in.
The one you put batteries in, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only bit with the bin that I feel a bit bad about, is it does I feel a bit bad about using batteries for the environment and stuff, using batteries for a bin. There again, what I'm going to do, I am going to get rechargeable batteries and I'm going to make a solar powered...
See, I've already zoned out.
In the garden. I'm going to make a rechargeable solar thing in the garden. I'm going to recharge the batteries that way. I'll leave them out there for a year to 18 months.
Debbie
in the sun,
McGee had a really... Paul McDaniel's wife.
Was she Paul Daniels' Scottish cousin?
Yes. she had a saga with her bin.
You'll like it, not a lot.
She's had a...
He's dead anyway. R.I.P. Sorry. R.I.P.
She's had a saga with her bin.
She's had a saga with her bin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's tweeted...
How do you know this?
I follow her on Twitter.
You follow Debbie McGee?
I love Debbie McGee. She says, Hi all. The saga of my garden waste brown wheelie bin I ordered in April. I ordered two and one arrived at the end of May. Whoopee.
I can see why you follow her.
The other, despite emails from Wokingham Council, saying it has been delivered. But my reply, oh no it hasn't.
Right, can I... Listen, as interesting as this bin pantomime is...
I thought it's...
Oh yes, it has.
It's on your level.
Listen, me talking about our battery-operated bin with the automatic lid is interesting. People, that...
This is really interesting.
That is not a saga.
50 people liked it.
50 people liked the fact that Debbie McGee has contacted Wokingham Council to ask about where her two brown bins are and only one of them has been delivered.
Yes.
50 people liked that.
Okay. Get this?
I think my decision not to go on social media is fairly vindicated at this point.
Social media. A week later, whoopee, my brown wheelie bin has finally arrived.
Oh, thank God.
Happy girl.
Oh, thank God.
80 people liked that.
As if by magic, it turned out.
I'm glad she's happy about it.
Yeah, look, hey, I've got nothing against Debbie McGee or either of her brown bins.
Do you know who else used to find bins very alluring?
What?
Do you know who else used to find, not garden bins, but bins alluring?
Oh, if it's bins, I'm into it. Who is it?
Ellis, my friend Ellis.
Well, I know Ellis, yes. Ellis James,
yeah.
Your friend and comedian and Five Live DJ.
Yeah.
Radio presenter.
I know him as L.
You know him as L.
Yeah.
Some people know him as Ellis James.
Yeah. He used to find... Well,
what do you mean he used to find bins alluring?
Well, no, he used to...
What did he do to them? Oh, no, God.
No,
did
nothing
he?
Like that.
Has he...
No, it's
has
just
he
that
banged
once,
a bin?
When...
He'd love a battery-operated bin, then. a bin that opens when you wave your hand over it.
I had to sleep in Ellis's bed once, and I went in, and the bin was in the middle of the bed. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, cool now. You got into bed. You had a threesome. You Ellis
wasn't,
in a bin.
No, Ellis wasn't there. I was
Three's
using
up.
His bed for some reason. Pardon?
Threes up with Ellis in a bin.
No. It sounds like a rubbish film. Right.
Anyway, come on, I'm eating my muffin. You, Ellis, now. Is you, Ellis, in
Ellis
a waste paper basket
there.
In bed?
Ellis isn't there.
Ellis isn't there. It's just you in the bin.
Well, I'd removed the bin from the bed, as anyone would before a night's sleep.
Well, Ellis clearly didn't.
I don't know what he was up to.
So you got in Ellis's bed. Ellis wasn't there, but there was a bin in the middle of the bed.
Yeah.
Did it look like it had been misused? Used for purposes other than binage?
Why don't we ask him?
Bloody ask him. Well, do you think he'll answer that?
No.
Let's get him on the blower, Barry. Get old bin fucker on.
Can you phone out?
Call the bin fucker.
Will do.
Here he is.
Oh.
Hey, this is James.
Hi, how are you?
Don't wear glasses and trying to look intellectual. I've just been here and used a shagger bin.
All right then, sorry. I'll take him off.
All right, bin shagger.
Hi, Al. Right, Al. I've told Rod, basically, there was one night... Remember
everything.
When we used to share a house?
Yeah, yeah.
There was one night where I, for some reason, was using your bed. You weren't there.
All right.
Yeah. And in the middle of the bed...
You were down the council bloody reclamation yard, probably, just having it off with a skip or something.
Right.
In the middle of the bed was a waste paper bin.
Was it?
Which I removed and then went to sleep.
What was in there?
I don't know, like maybe
You
tissues.
Know damn well what was in there.
Just classic.
Classic rubbish.
Yeah.
The
thin and sword.
I didn't root round.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
there wasn't anything right to the top. There wasn't.
Like what, Elle? Like what might have been in there?
Like what?
Like what are you thinking?
Just off the top of your head.
Carcasses of small animals. I don't know, some embarrassing food. I'm trying to think what an embarrassing food would be for me to be, like, yeah, a big cream horn or something. It's not a dignified meal to eat, that, is it?
It's just stood out in my mind, Al, because it was a really weird thing to have to do to prepare to go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. Was it a wicker? Was it a wicker bus?
No, it was like one of those metal ones.
God, that must have been a different night.
Yeah, yeah. That's an expensive bin, that.
Is it?
Well...
Do you still have it?
No. I think I tried to make my house more aesthetic.
It's an expensive bin.
Took the bin out of the bed.
Yes.
Sounds like you got your money's worth out of it.
Very practical and hard wearing.
Yes.
But
I bet it needed to be.
Aesthetically, it didn't do what I wanted it to do. So I...
playing hard to get.
Yeah, I'd probably give it to a charity.
What have you got now, Al?
Yeah, what sort of bin you got in your bed tonight?
Do you know what?
Have you not got a bin anymore?
I'm in the spare room. There's no bin in here. There is a bin in our room.
No, it'll be in your main bed.
Yeah, there's...
it'll be in the master suite if there's a bin in there. What was going on with the bin in your bed, Ellis James?
I think...
The bin shagger?
I think I was probably... I think I was probably just going through it, but at my own leisurely pace. So I thought I'd sit back... I just go because occasionally stuff gets checked in the bin that shouldn't get checked in the bin, so I like to...
But so occasionally that you wouldn't think, I'll take the bin to bed tonight just in case it's happened. I mean, it is so occasional that something gets chucked in it.
It's a quick inventory, and then, yeah, that's fine, that could go into the main bin. I'm happy that I'm not throwing away anything I don't want to throw away.
Yeah. That's going in the outside.
Everything in this bin is right, it should be in the bin.
It's been checked, and that's the important thing. I've checked.
Why couldn't you check it? That's probably a silly question, but why couldn't you check it maybe not in the bed?
Because I was probably kicking back and listening to music at the same time, wasn't I? So I was trying to relax. You know, I might have a little candle or something.
Or a cigarette after.
I wouldn't have had anything else on. That's the important thing to remember.
What, clothes-wise or...?
No, I mean, it's about diary.
Oh, my God.
So I probably... It would have been, I don't know, midweek. All right, then I'll do the old bin inventory, sort of midweek, not going out today. I've got nothing on.
Well, I love that that's part of your routine.
Well, it was. I mean,
I go through the bin.
I don't have the time anymore. It's the kind of thing a bored person does.
It's the kind of thing look, there's no polite way of putting it, really. The kind of person that takes a bin to bed to go through it to see if anything has been put in there accidentally in bed under the covers. I mean, it's not. I wouldn't describe that as bored.
But also, you've got to remember, as a student, your entire life is in your bedroom, so your music's in there, your clothes are in there, your work is in there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, quite often you'd have a bin, perhaps on the floor in a corner.
I mean, it wasn't in there. It wasn't there permanently. It must have been on the bed for some reason, and then I would say 9 times out of 10.
No, it was in the bed, not on the bed. It was in.
Well, yeah, all right. It was in the bed.
Yeah, but it wasn't like tucked in.
It was tucked in. It was tucked up, peering out.
It was in the middle.
His little lid peering out from above the covers.
Yeah, obviously I'd drawn a little face on it. I bloody loved that bin.
Yeah, so nothing untoward happened with the bin, no?
I don't think it was a sexual thing. No, I think it was...
Don't think so. That is an odd answer. Just think now. Did anything sexual happen with the... Hang on, Rosie's just got up and stolen my muffin. You're off the hook, Al, because Rosie just popped up on the table and stole the remains of my muffin off the table. So you are off the hook. You'll never need to answer that question about whether anything sexual happened with that bin.
Great. Okay, then, bye.
Cheers, Al.
See ya. And not for the first time, our special guest this week is Lloyd Langford.
Mr. Lloyd.
How's it going?
Hello, Lloyd.
You all right?
Here's a story for you. I'm convinced my husband is having an affair after noticing... A mum of five was taken to Netmums to ask users for advice after her husband started shaving his privates.
Yeah.
Right, what's happened is... A mum has shared her fears about her husband's potential infidelity after she noticed a change in his grooming routine. The woman explained that her husband usually shaves his privates every 6 weeks or so. But since the start of lockdown, he hasn't bothered.
Come on.
We can all relate to that. Do you let yourself go a bit, Lloyd?
Yeah, it looks like a womble.
Which one?
Uncle Bulgaria.
The old one, the one that's been around the world.
The main thing I associate with a womble is that really long, tapered, thin nose. Is that
the mouse?
Is that exactly what you're saying? You're... Wow. Have you got a little pair of glasses perched on the top of it?
A little baseball cap.
Got loads of rubbish caught up in it.
Yeah, don't get it out on Wimbledon Common, really, Lloyd. There'll be all sorts of trouble.
It's already free.
Oh, come on. The woman explained that her husband usually shaves his privates every 6 weeks or so. How often do you shave your privates, Lloyd?
Genuinely, I think I maybe have done it like once or twice in my life.
As a joke?
Bloody hell.
Not as a joke.
Because of disease.
Yeah, asking the wrong person.
I follow a scorched earth policy. No, I think I did it once for sort of maintenance.
Children in need.
You did it once for maintenance. Why didn't you? You know, like a garden, you have to do it. You don't just go, I've done it once. That's it now.
That's it now. That's me done.
It's not
the definition of maintenance is that it's ongoing, maintaining something. You can't just do it once and.
You mean investment?
But I don't. You know. You see some gardens that are like all overgrown and, you know.
Yeah.
Mine isn't like that.
You've got a trolley in your bush. is it an old Tesco trolley in your pubic hair?
Loads of foxes.
Mine looks a little wild, but I keep it like that.
Ah, so you maintain a wild look, do you?
Yeah.
As nature should be, a natural
look.
Do you trim it into quite a wild look then? If you don't shave it, but you escape a bit, do you?
I honestly, bedhead.
I've never seen you look more nonplussed and more confused in my life.
I very rarely do any kind of pub work.
So if you shaved your privates, your girlfriend would be going, hey, what's going on here, do you reckon?
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah, she'd suspect something was up. What about you, Sean?
What about it?
I don't know what the question is.
What about it?
I just looked at you then and I don't know what the question is.
Luxembourg. Listen, I know somebody who had an appointment with a doctor. Have I told you this?
I don't think so.
It was just a friend of mine's mother.
Right.
Had an appointment with a doctor. And it was like, she thought, oh God, what if they want to check me down there? So she very quickly gave herself a little
spray. Was she going to the doctor for?
It was something to do with down there.
Well, you know.
You never know. No, but you know like how sometimes you have scans and sometimes it's on the outside of your stomach and sometimes it's inside.
Nope, never had that.
So you don't know whether you need to do anything or not.
Right, as a woman.
Have a wash. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she went to the doctor just before she went. She went, oh, I'll just freshen up a bit. So she sprayed herself with a little bit of like impulse and went off to the doctor.
Wait, calm down.
What?
She was going to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
She thought... I mean, we'll come back to the fact that you said, do I need to wash down there or not?
No, we won't go... Yeah, okay. Right.
Like, that's only on a need...
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And then she... So instead of washing everything, she just sprayed some sort of...
She's in a
what
rush.
I would call supermarket...
Like impulse.
Yeah, impulse. So sort of supermarket perfume, underarm deodorant.
Just to freshen up
it. And then he gave her a bunch of flowers.
Exactly. Men can't help acting on it. That was the old 1980s advert for Impulse.
She went to the
doctor. Men can't help acting on it.
She went on the doctor. She sat up on a thing and he said, right, pull your knickers off. And she pulled her knickers off. And he went, I'm glad to see you've made an effort. And she was like, what do you mean? And she looked down and she'd sprayed glitter. All over herself.
No.
Yes, Wade. So a stinking, glittery smear test. Amazing.
Wow. I think I know who that will be.
Yeah.
It gets everywhere, doesn't it, glitter?
It does get everywhere, Lloyd.
It would have looked like the beginning of Stars in Your Eyes.
What, smoke?
What?
Matthew Kelly? What?
In Stars in Their Eyes, Matthew Kelly stands at the front of the stage,
yeah,
interviews a member of the public who then says, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Elton John or whoever, some Freddie Mercury or whoever. Then they disappear, and then we hard cut to somebody coming out looking like Elton John a little bit, all made up and stuff with smoke and sort of studio lights and the audience going wild. You mean it'd be like that?
Pretty much. I haven't seen the show for a while.
Bloody hell, Lloyd.
Has anyone ever shaved, gone, have you ever gone, Lloyd or Rod, have you ever gone full gone?
I've never gone
full shaved. I noticed you didn't ask me, Barry.
No, I made a point of not asking.
My husband is
you
here.
Sexist pig, Barry. Ask Sian if she's shaved her bush off.
This is such an odd conversation.
Ask her now, you sexist pig.
I got persuaded to once.
Don't change the subject.
And it was horrific.
You did what, Baz? You shaved it all
off?
I got persuaded
to once years ago. Terrible move. And
who persuaded you?
Well,
his barber.
Just a short back and side speech. No. I have just the thing. Pull your trousers and pants down, please. I know what you.
Since then, I've just gone for a tight perm down there.
Oh my god!
It persuaded you to shave all your pubic hair off.
An ex,
you weren't even going out with them at the time.
Yeah, they rang you up.
They rang you up and said, Barry, I know it's been a while. I know I haven't seen you for a couple of years, but can you just do me this last favour?
Hi, Barry, how's it going? Yeah, really well.
Yeah, just for old time's sake.
Do you mind shaving all your pubes off?
It looked like a pig in blanket on top of a plucked turkey.
Oh, it's quite festive.
It's Christmas dinner for one.
No sprouts.
The cranberry sauce is when you're going to worry.
I was in South Africa once in a festival, doing a comedy festival with Jason Wood, RIP, and a few other people, and a lovely gig. And then we went back to the hotel. We were all there. We got onto this subject about manscaping and stuff. I'd never really tried it. This is quite a while ago. So I thought I'll try it, but I was quite drunk. And I went back to my hotel room about 3 or 4 in the morning, obviously quite drunk, and literally just shoved a scissors through my nutsack. Ooh, clean hole. A clean hole.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
Clean hole. You could look into it.
Oh.
I remember standing in the shower with the scissors, which is a bad place to, combination.
Right.
With the shower on,
right.
Trying to trim my nuts with the scissors, with a hairdressing scissors, because I used to cut my own hair in those days. Ironically, I think I'd have more talent. And just shoved one fork of the scissors, one spike of the scissors, straight through.
So what did you do?
Not straight through both sides. It wasn't like a skewer. It was like a brochette.
It's like the scene from Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To yourself.
Except it was only me there. What?
But was there lots of blood?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Especially in the shower because all the water is just, yeah.
God.
Oh yeah.
What did
you
do?
From Carrie. What?
Did you go to the doctor?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happened?
Yeah. Hey doc. No, of course I didn't.
Did you just patch it up yourself?
I just patched it up as best I could myself.
With what?
I'd swaddle it in toilet paper.
Did you sew yourself up like Rambo?
I didn't sew myself up like Rambo, but it took a very long time to heal.
Ow.
A very long time to heal.
So did you... Sound of Music. Did you shave... Was it only half done?
No, I gave up after that.
Did you?
It wasn't only half done.
You did it all?
I don't remember how well and good a job I did on the rest of it.
You just shaved one ball and then poked a hole in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just rammed a scissors straight through my scrotum.
Let it breathe like Lloyd's sausage rolls.
Yuck.
I know.
Yeah.
So, I manscape a bit. Barry manscapes a bit. Lloyd literally does nothing. This woman explained that her husband usually shaves his privates. And I don't know, at the moment, I don't know if she means shaves or trims, you know, with a, whatever. Right. Every 6 weeks or so. But since the start of lockdown, he hasn't bothered. Lots of us have let ourselves go a bit during lockdown, right?
Yeah.
I've still got massively long hair, even though lockdown is technically over. And hairdressers are open. Can't be bothered. But now that he's been given a date to return to work, he started shaving again, she says. While some users reassured her that the sudden grooming could be innocent, since many people have been lazy in lockdown, others aren't so sure. She said, I'm just after advice. I may be being paranoid, but I thought I'd just see others' point of view on the matter. So my husband has shaved his pubes usually every 6 weeks or so. Anyway, he last did it at the end of February, early March, and then hasn't touched them since he's been working from home due to the coronavirus. Monday, he said he has to go back into work. I asked why, he said his boss asked. And he said yes. There's only two of them in the office at a time. So it's him going to be alone with one woman in the morning and another in the afternoon. Anyway, she says, he's in the shower shaving away, which to me seems... We've established that's a bad place to do it. Anyway, she says, he's in the shower shaving away, which to me seems coincidental that he's back to work next week. I also wanted to add, about 7 or 8 years ago, he was getting quite involved with a female work colleague that he said was a man, and a text from her that implied he had sent a sex text to her. Now then, the comments. One person said it could be quite innocent, that in his work clothes he's more comfortable after shaving.
It's true.
Oh, you know what it's like. There's nothing worse than getting into a suit with normal pubic hair. You can't wear a tie without shaving your nuts completely bald first.
What do we know? Do we know what line of employment he's in?
I don't know yet. We might find out.
He could be a porn star.
Says he...
Yes.
He could be.
Working with one woman in the morning and one in the afternoon.
Somebody else has gone, just my own experience from my husband who cheated on me. He did this as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, he shaved.
He never shaved his pubes and wasn't bothered for a long time while we're together. But then when he goes off to work, he started shaving his pubes regularly. When I asked him, he said he's just trying it out. But then I caught him.
What else was he just trying out?
Well, yeah. Then I caught him cheating on me. Okay, somebody called I Love Shoes 123.
Sorry, can we just enjoy that? That is not a real woman. That is a robot pretending to be a woman.
I love shoes
123 isn't human.
Well, you say that. I Love Shoes 123 says, put yourself out of your misery. Ask him if you don't trust him. Without trust, there is nothing.
See?
Somebody called Cheery says, this is slightly off topic. He may get a sweaty rear at work, depending on the chair type.
What are they called?
That's all they've put. Cheery.
Cheery.
He may get a sweaty rear at work, depending on the chair type. Bumblebee 0004 says, so if it was the other way round and the woman suddenly shaved her legs for work, would that imply she is cheating too?
Yes.
Would it?
100%.
Oh, okay. I'll keep an eye on you. Marshmallow says, my man shaves his turkey weekly. Because it's comfortable and clean. I shave my begging strips every other day for the same reason.
What's a begging strip?
I have no idea.
What's a begging strip?
I've never heard the term my begging strips
plural.
In my life.
Plural.
Yeah.
I have have you, Lloyd, have you heard that? You haven't commented.
No, I've never heard begging strips before.
Are you going to use it from now on?
It gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, please sir, I want some more.
I shave my begging strips every day for the same reason. Certainly more comfortable in summer. Nothing worse than a sweaty, hairy beanbag. Or a flossy clunge.
Or a what?
A flossy clunge.
Bull B says, don't forget, ladies, keep his belly full and his balls empty.
God.
Wow.
Cycle Rider says, I shave every day as I like the smooth look. Bill Wiz comes in, simply says, thanks.
Bill Wiz.
And Pablo Brown 03 says, I'd bin him anyway, just because he shaves his nuts.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Time for Froth of the Week. This is where I give you three frothy stories and your job is to determine the frothiest of the three frothy stories. Okay. Story number one. Frothy story number one. Pretty frothy. Ben Affleck springs to the rescue after his pooch escapes from his assistant's minivan. There's a story about Ben Affleck's dog who walks out of a minivan and starts walking down the street. Ben Affleck goes to get it and brings it back.
Right.
I read you the whole story in a minute, but that is it. Okay. Story two. Seagull flies into woman's house and vomits on her kitchen counter. Frothy story number three. Mum buys vending machine and gets kids to use pocket money on treats.
Whoa.
I have scoured the world's press for the three frothiest stories of the week. Which one do you like the sound of? I can show you a picture first up, and I'll show you for the cameras as well.
There, I've seen him before. No, but
you haven't seen him leading a dog back.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, that guy. There, can you see him? He's got what he's done is he's walking, but he's bending over slightly using his core, and he's got the dog around the collar, and he's leading it back to his assistant's minivan.
It's quite stressful,
because
it had
walked out and gone down the street.
It's a cute dog. Yeah.
It does need a lead. I mean, that would have been a better story, actually. Ben Affleck needs lead.
Oh, and there could be a pun about him being a lead actor and something.
Oh, yes. He may be the lead in a lot of... Actually, let's see if they've done that.
Probably.
Let's see if they've done that. Ben Affleck showed off his superhero skills.
Oh, they haven't gone with it.
Not yet.
I mean, that is a disappointing superhero film.
Dog retriever.
Is it a plane? It's dog retriever.
You wouldn't even need to change into a cape or anything for this, would you?
No.
He's just... I mean, what is amazing is he has just done it in a T-shirt and jeans.
I mean, if anything, you'd imagine the costume for that superhero would be like a fleece or a body warmer.
Fleece.
Or a lead.
Just a lead.
What happens is he bends his... He points his wrist at the dog and a lead shoots out from his wrist and attaches itself to the dog's collar. He can lead it back to his assistant's minivan whenever it escapes. Dog retrieval man, retrieves a dog whenever he can. Ben Affleck showed off his superhero skills, it says, for 8-year-old Samuel. Aww. I presume that's the dog. As he effortlessly... I mean, this is a bit of an oxymoron, this phrase. He effortlessly wrangled their family dog back to safety. I mean, to me, if you wrangle something, that suggests quite a lot of effort. Yeah. I don't think you can effortlessly wrangle, can you?
You could wrangle something out of a toddler's hand.
What? You can't wrangle something out of a toddler's hand.
What?
You can
if ask it was a toddler. Like a,
you can.
A bottle of bleach or something.
Exactly.
That you didn't...
Thanks, Lloyd. With minimum effort.
Okay. All right. I'll accept you might wrangle a bottle of bleach out of a toddler's hand.
Yes.
And say, I know Trump told you to do it, but let me take that from you.
Here's a question. How is Ben Affleck's assistant assisting him if he's had to do all the heavy lifting vis-a-vis the dog?
Good point, Lloyd. Where is the assistant?
What the fuck does Ben Affleck's assistant do if Ben Affleck has to get his own dog back from his assistant's minivan? For his afternoon with the kids, the Oscar winner sported a laid-back, and we can all take this fashion tips here, a laid-back charcoal T-shirt, light grey jeans, and coordinated sneakers. Despite making Oh, my words. You know when you get to the last paragraph and you think, this should be the not the frothy story of the week?
Yeah.
Here's our froth of the week story coming right up here. Despite making headlines for his darker facial hair earlier this week.
What do you mean?
This isn't even the most boring Ben Affleck story of the week.
Oh, my God.
Earlier in the week, there was a story about his darker facial hair.
Right.
That's even less interesting than his dog walking down the road.
Poor Ben Affleck.
Seagull flies into woman's house and vomits on her kitchen counter. It's your second story, Froth of the Week. Look at the frothiest story of the week. The unexpected visitor, that's the seagull, has now been nicknamed Steven Seagull. Sean like that. Do you get it, Lloyd?
Yeah, it's alliteration.
That's partly it.
Unfortunate initials as well for that seagull.
This is the moment. There's a picture. This is the moment an unwelcome avian, that's birdshan, visitor, makes themselves at home in a woman's house. I mean, arguably, when you make yourself at home, what the fuck are you doing? Sorry, you said make yourself at home. I threw up all over the sofa. Oh, hang on. This is the moment an unwelcome avian visitor makes themselves at home in a woman's house before violent... I thought they were suggesting that throwing up in the house was making yourself at home.
How did he make himself at home before?
It doesn't go into that.
Have a bath?
I don't know. Just started eating mackerel in the lounge. I don't know. Before violently throwing up on the kitchen counter. Video footage, because that's straight away what I would do as well. There was a seagull on my counter throwing up. I'd go, where's the phone?
One film, eh?
Yeah, somebody get this, would you? Somebody video this. I'm watching Countdown. Video footage shows the seagull waltzing through a Brighton living room as seemingly terrified tenants, Natalie Wattenbach, 27, waltzing. And Charlotte Morley. Well, you say that, Lloyd. Terrified. Why do you question that, Lloyd? Because something's just cropped in my head. Why do you question that, Lloyd, that they'd be terrified?
Well, I mean, It would be, I would say, a novelty and an annoyance if you had a seagull suddenly in your living room, but not like a puma or something. Like it wouldn't pose you no harm.
Seagulls are massive, though.
Lloyd.
One of them nicked your fish.
The video footage. The video footage shows a seagull waltzing through their living room. Wouldn't you be terrified of that?
No.
Well, I mean, he's clearly taking liberties, but I don't know if I'd be terrified about it. I'd be perturbed.
You listen to this. I'll see if I can find a message I got from my distant cousin Gabby. Let me set the scene. A few weeks ago, I'm attending a burglary.
He wasn't involved in it. He was just, you know, one of those hangers-on at the end.
A few weeks ago, the police turned up at our house. There's been a burglary down the road. Some neighbours of mine. So I went down. I went down to help out. Right? I'm helping out with the burglary. Right, we've got to try and fix the door, but I've got some spare bolts and stuff, so we're trying to put on the door because the door's been smashed in. So there I am, I'm dealing with a burglary. It's all quite stressful, the police are there, and the neighbour's house has been broken into, and we're all socially distancing, mind you, dealing with it.
Yep.
Next thing, I get a phone call, and texts, and WhatsApp messages from my cousin, terrified. There's a pigeon in my bedroom! !! Next one, I'm terrified! I think it's hiding.
Taunting her almost.
I went into my room, this is the next one from her, and thought I saw one, but it's gone quiet now. Then Sean's come into the conversation. We had a blue tit in our bathroom a few weeks ago. Not very helpful. Not very helpful. Not very helpful. Admittedly, we did have a blue tit in the bathroom. He went back up into the hole in the ceiling of our bathroom where the builders have knocked a hole through.
I was trying to make it feel better.
And he's gone up into the attic. It doesn't make it feel better. She's terrified. No. She says, "Oh, this, look at this. Right. This is the like on a WhatsApp group, okay, with our street." Of which my cousin
is. Oh, so the whole street knows now.
Yeah, the whole street knows now. I'm out in the street dealing with a neighbour's burglary. This is what's happening on WhatsApp. I went into my room and thought I saw him, but he's gone quiet now. This is from another neighbour. Can you open your window and come out and shut the door?
This is at midnight, wasn't it?
This is 25 to 11 at the moment. Can you open your window wide and come out and shut the door? Says one of my neighbours to my cousin.
Good advice.
Gabby. Good advice. Sean, we had a blue tit in our bathroom a few weeks ago.
We did.
Again.
Gabby, my cousin.
Again.
Gabby, my cousin. This is her response to Sean. Okay, she says. Sean, yeah, shut up, basically, in brackets. Who gives a shit about your stupid fucking blue tit? Now, I'm really scared to go back in there. Next one, a minute later. It's enormous. Then another neighbour comes in. If it's on the floor, it will be easier to cover, says my next door neighbour, actually, the one I sent a triple X rated message to a few weeks ago. Gabby, whatever it is, maybe it's the body of a pigeon. Somebody else says, oh no, it wouldn't be that. Yes, try and open a window. Oh, I'd be terrified too. See, Sean, that's somebody that understands.
I'm not terrified of pigeons, though.
That's what somebody who understands what Gabby's going through, not going, oh, we had a blue tit in a few years ago.
Yeah.
Gabby, the window is open. It's totally dark as my light has gone. This is from next door neighbour, who's always empathising. Oh, dear, that is difficult. Somebody else, yikes. I'd be tempted to sleep on the sofa. Gabby, yes, I might do that. Thanks, everyone. Next door says, good luck. My cousin's back, 2 minutes later. Surely if it's a live animal, I would hear it. Another neighbour. Sorry, we can't help anymore.
What? Really? Did they say that?
Sorry, can't help anymore. DJ, that's
David,
is out of action, because we know he's unwell. And I'm a chicken. I presume she's not saying she's an actual chicken. Otherwise, now I'm dealing with a burglary, a pigeon and a fucking chicken next door. Oh, now this is where you've started to empathise, Sean. Do you want me to come over? Rod's over with so-and-so and the police.
Sting and the lads.
Rod's me to come over? Rod's over there with the police.
He's doing the tantric sex workshop.
This is where I get involved. It's now 5 to 11. So the pigeon conversation has been going on for about half an hour. Want me to come over, Gabs? Sorry, I've missed all these. I've been dealing with the burglary and with the police. Gabs, yes, please.
Can I just say your message sounded a little bit passive-aggressive, as if I've been dealing with more important things.
Yeah, exactly.
It does sound a little bit.
Yeah, what about it? I've been dealing with crime.
It does sound a little bit. Sean put out the strangest collection of items to catch a pigeon you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
It was like the conveyor belt on the Generation game. It was like laundry basket, cuddly toy, rolling pin.
No, the bin lid.
Bin lid. Washing machine. She just put out a random collection of objects to help for me to take down the street. This is like midnight now, to go and try and catch this pigeon. Let's give Gabby a ring about it. She could tell us the story in her own words. Let's give Gabby a
fucking
ring.
Fucking hell, this is like Oliver Stone's JFK.
Thanks for making me relive this.
I've just been through, Gabby. Hello, nice to see you.
Oh, hiya.
I've just been through the messages that you sent on the night of the long nights, the pigeon night.
Oh, Jesus.
Just been through them all. I'm sorry to make you relive it.
Okay.
Do you remember what it was like on the night?
How could I ever forget? Yeah, I mean, I remember you were the second person involved. I'd spoken to my friend Colin, who'd reviewed a book about pigeons on a good read. He was my first call. So he'd prepared me by telling me to wear a saucepan as a helmet, broom as a sword, And then I had a top of a bin lid as a shield, because I'd gone into my bedroom and saw a flurry of grey feathers.
It must have been so scary.
It was terrifying, because the thing is if you know there's a bird in there, you expect a lot of flapping. But when I went back in, and I remember jumping on the floorboards to try and get it out of the window, but there was nothing.
What,
was
you were thinking you'd jump on one end and it would... It would flip it up through the window like a seesaw. Splat.
Like Lauren Hardy.
Well, at least scare it out.
You texted us first. Yeah. You texted the group first. I'm terrified. He's looking at me. He's staring into my soul.
Gabs, you sounded so freaked out on the phone, love. You were saying, Sian, it looks otherworldly. And I think it may be possessed.
Gabby, are you normally afraid of pigeons, sort of like in the wild? You know, if you were walking on the street and a pigeon happened past, would you be startled?
Now, I'm scared of pigeons when they don't react the way that pigeons should react, Lloyd. And this pigeon wasn't moving. It was looking at me.
This is
the difference.
This is evidenced by this little text here. It's next to my bed. Next text. Looking at me.
Yep.
Next text. These are all gone unreplied, by the way. Nobody's replied to these.
Exactly.
It's next to my bed. Nobody's responded. You've gone looking at me. No reply from anybody. Next one. This is 11:05. It's not a normal pigeon.
I love how all the group are like, someone's watching TV and someone's phone's going beep, 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 beep. And they're just looking at it going, oh, just leave it. She's gone mad.
Exactly.
It's looking at her.
A couple of neighbours bailed out, didn't they, at this point?
Oh, yeah. But yeah. I can see that they're all Reddit. I was checking. Rod came over with some very strange paraphernalia.
Yeah, the assembly of items that Sian had laid out for me.
Yeah,
exactly. A BC with a saucepan on your head.
But I came over strangely, did I?
Yeah, you came
strangely ill-equipped.
Very ill-equipped, just with a bucket. And
a bin.
Then
it was a bin.
A bin, and chased the pigeon.
And it was at that point, roughly 2 hours into the whole event, that you said, I'll ring one of my closest friends, they're a pigeon expert. Not Colin, who's reviewed a book about pigeons. This was a genuine, bona fide pigeon fancying, racing, taming, breeding expert.
Yeah, whose email is the pigeon man.
Whose email is the pigeon man. It's a Gabs. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for reliving it. I hope it wasn't too traumatic.
Nope. Thank you again. And yeah, thanks for saving it.
I mean, we haven't even heard this fucking seagull story. We've been going through Rod's text messages for 25 minutes.
Right then, frothy story number three, your third frothy story, froth of the week. We are looking for the frothiest story of the three. This story is about a thrifty mum, it says, who buys a vending machine and gets her kids to use the pocket money on treats. A clever mother, it says, which is an oxymoron, as we all know. It's just such a weird way to say it, isn't it? A clever mother, unlike all the other mothers. This is an unusual mother. A clever mother has worked out a way to stop her children constantly snacking while raising a little petty cash. Like many mums, the nurse... She's a nurse as well as a clever mother. The nurse decided to buy a vending machine.
In the Argos catalogue, do you remember that little tiny Cadbury's Dairy Milk thing that you'd get, that you put 2p into it and then a little square of Cadbury's Dairy Milk would come out?
No.
And we'd eat all of them on Christmas morning. Do you remember? Everyone had them. They were from the Argos catalogue.
I didn't know
that.
That
was like a vending machine.
I suppose it was, in
my my cousin had a gumball machine that you could use money to get the...
What, like a chewing gum thing? Gum.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really? Do you know what I'd really love one of those machines they get in the services where you put a pound in, you get a toothbrush and a ball. God. I've always wanted one of them. Eh? If you're looking for Christmas gifts, as a hint.
I've never seen that machine in my life.
Well, haven't they got those in the ladies?
What do you mean?
You put a pound in, you turn the thing, like a, instead of a gobstopper, a little toothbrush, a little edible toothbrush thing comes down in a little ball that you cleans your teeth.
No, we get tampons. Do you get toothbrushes?
What, to clean your teeth?
No, they probably presume that we've brushed our teeth before going to the services.
Well, I don't know. You've seen them, right?
Yeah, they're like dry toothbrushes that you don't need toothpaste to use.
Really?
Have you ever bought one, Lloyd? No. Has anyone ever bought one? Have you bought one, Barry?
Rod, I'll give you a tip for life. Never buy anything in a service station.
Never buy anything in a service station toilets. That's a good... Yes. That is good advice, that is. Huh?
I don't think his mum's thought this through entirely, because there would be the initial outlay of the vending machine itself, so she'd have to factor in the prices.
Exactly, Barry.
Let me put that into context. The mum of four snatched herself a bargain. She got one for £100, the vending machine. Now her family can buy themselves an unhealthy treat or push the buttons and get a healthy one for free.
No, they can't.
Hey? Oh, they get a healthy one for free. She's put in healthy ones and rigged it so they are free, the healthy treats, and then they have to pay for the unhealthy ones now. See? She is a clever mum. So sick of the arguments about unhealthy snacks, I've bought a vending machine. If they want sweets, they can do things, chores, schoolwork, etc., to earn money and then use the vending machine. The kids are very excited about this, but not as excited as me. Sarah, who filled the machine up with treats, added, "I'm not unreasonable. I've put them in at cost price. Ha 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 ha."
Hysterical laughter.
She's basically turned her house into a motorway service station.
Lucky coin.
I guarantee she'll be on the PTA.
In her lounge is half a dozen truckers playing fruit machines at 2 o'clock in the morning.
you go into the kitchen and there's a machine where you can print your own business card.
Next to a really moody person in a costume uniform.
You can sign up for the AA in the hall.
Where are you going to get cash from in this day and age?
Hey, she probably gets it out of the postman Pat ride outside the front door that she's got for the local kids. So which one is the winner of Froth of the Week? Which is the frothiest of the three frothy stories? The vending machine, Ben Affleck getting his dog, or the seagull vomiting in the kitchen? Choose now.
Ben Affleck.
Lloyd.
Vending machine.
Barry, casting vote.
I'll go Ben Affleck. Tedious.
I'll go Ben Affleck too. Lloyd, you're outvoted. Ben Affleck, congratulations. You are this week's Froth of the Week. Right, that is about all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks to special guest Lloyd Langford.
Thanks to Gabby Swallow and Ellis James.
The Bin Shagger.
Shut up.
Shaggy, shaggy, bin, bin.
You can find us at the Froth Podcast.
Shaggy, bin, bin.
Shaggy, bin, bin.
Shaggy, bin, bin.
Shaggy, bin, bin.
He shags bin.
You can find...
And shaggy, hey, shaggy, 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 bin, bin. Shaggy, shaggy, bin, bin. Ellis shags bins. He shags bin, shaggy, and where you go, shaggy.
Ellis does not shag bins.
Bin, bin, shaggy, shaggy, bin, bin. He shags it, bin.
Bin, bin, shaggy, 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 bin, bin, shaggy, bin, bin, Ellis, shagged a binny, binny, bin. You can find us at the Froth Podcast, where you'll get extra froth content.
And if you like this rubbish, don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars.
Spread the word if you enjoyed it.
And spread the word about Ellis shagging a bin. And tune in next week. This podcast was a Clan Bobble Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.